Hello boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, this is Nishant Garg and welcome to another episode of the Nishant Garg Show. This show is about extracting information on mindfulness and personal development. Thank you for listening to this podcast today. My today's guest is Carol Spears. We are doing this series on coronavirus, COVID-19, and this is part 2 of the series. If you have not listened to part 1 on how to be productive during quarantine, please check it out. Carol's credibility is rooted in 25 years of success as CEO of a leading UK stress management consultancy, working with equal success both in the UK and the Gulf. She is a well-respected authority on building resilience and communication skills, a BBC guest, broadcaster, and author of Show Stress, Who is Boss? Carol is an international motivational speaker and is regularly called upon by the national press and media for comments. Carol is chair of the International Stress Management Association and founder of International Stress Awareness Week. So that the episode big. Carol, welcome to part 2 of this series.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And my today's topic is how to communicate effectively by phone and online. So we are all used to communicating face-to-face, but by phone and online, it is very different. How do you feel about it?
Well, it is different because if you say to somebody, how do you communicate? They'll say things to you like, yeah, I communicate absolutely fine. No problem. Everybody listens to me, or not, as the case may be. But actually, when you're talking face-to-face to somebody, which is what we used to do before, you know, before we came into COVID-19, when you're actually talking face-to-face to somebody, you actually could read their body language. You have your eye contact. You have different signs in terms of how they were expressing themselves. So when you don't have that and you're actually communicating online or by phone, it's a very different skill set, because if you're not listening attentively, then you're not going to be picking up some of those cues and some of the learning that there is that comes out of it in terms of when you're actually seeing somebody face to face, because you're going to be guessing. You don't have those non-verbals. You can't read their body language because the chances are you may not be seeing it. So speaking by phone in some ways is really quite different, or it's a different skill set. So whereas you might be able to get away with not listening attentively to somebody when you're face to face, you can't get away with it when you're speaking to somebody on the phone. And particularly if people are managing other people, and it's very important for them to actually get the most out of that person and get the most performance and productivity out of them. So more than ever before, is it important to actually listen attentively to what the person is saying. And sometimes to what has not been said as well. So it's not easy. People tend to fill spaces. People tend to talk too quickly. They may be multitasking, and so they're not concentrating on what the person is saying. It's quite a different skill set, which realistically, where we are with COVID-19, is something we actually have to do.
And when we are not having face-to-face conversation, it's very difficult to engage those emotions because we are not sure what another person is saying, what they're coming from, their body language. And we all have that lens. We all have that layer that our perception becomes different. And it happens with me a lot of time. So do you have any opinion, any thought on that, how we can really understand somebody's perception when not having it face-to-face?
I think what's first and foremost you have to do is to actually carve out time to listen to somebody. You should do that either way. Even when you're speaking face-to-face, you should carve out listening to somebody and making sure that's dedicated time for them. So when you're speaking on the phone, even more so than ever, because if you're doing something else while listening to somebody, the chances are the person will hear the fact that you don't necessarily have that empathy with them. You're not really hearing what is said. We call it the music behind the words. So you're not actually listening to what it has been said. Somebody may say something, But nevertheless, the nuances that are underneath that need to be captured in order to have empathy with that person. Because you're not, as we said before, you don't have that, the visual signs. So you've only got the non-visual signs there. And just listening to exactly what's been said, what hasn't been said, how that person is communicating, how that person is feeling. You may not know how they're feeling. If you're with somebody face-to-face, you may have an appreciation of how that person is feeling because they may be looking down, they may be looking sad. And so you may pick up some words like, you seem sad today. You seem upset today. So you may pick that up. But if you haven't got those, if you haven't got the visual communication, then how are you going to pick that up? Well, the way you pick it up by wanting to know how someone is feeling is by simply asking the question. And the question is, how do you feel today? And waiting long enough for a response.
Because we are used to of asking, how are you? So instead of that, we can ask them, how do you feel today? That's more open-ended question.
It is more open-ended, but even though, Nishant, even if you did say, how are you? The most important thing is to wait long enough for a response. Because if you say to somebody at work, you're walking down the corridor, and you say to them, how are you? And they say, fine, 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 everyone's fine. They may be feeling like rubbish, they may be feeling dreadful, but everybody is fine, and it's a nonsense. It's just what people say fine because it's an expectation that the person who's asked them actually doesn't really want an answer. It's hello, how are you doing? Fine, it's all one sentence. But actually the words of how are you and pausing and waiting for that person to come up with a response is valid. It's very important. So therefore you can say, how are you feeling? And they say, I'm okay. And you go, oh, God, great, lovely, lovely. Well, they may not be lovely, lovely. So therefore sometimes if the person says, I'm fine, then a simple technique is to say, repeat the last word, fine. They say, well, actually, I'm not really fine. And then you're into a different conversation.
And when we say I'm fine, it is our default response all the time.
Yes, completely.
And completely. At a workplace, in a corporate setting, we don't want to share our real feelings. We just say we are fine.
It almost becomes, well, first of all, you're right in some cases that is an accepted level. Why do we say hello and how are you? Fine, quick, quick, quick. Without really, it doesn't become a valid question at all. It's because it becomes a courtesy. Did you have a good weekend? Great. Oh, hang on. I didn't tell you that it was the most dreadful weekend of my life. Because actually, do you know something? You didn't really want to hear about my weekend. It just becomes trite. It becomes something that you say. It becomes something that just rolls off the tongue. How are you doing? Fine. Have a good weekend? Great. Everything okay with you? Fine. You know, it all becomes, I know I'm doing a bit of theater, but it all becomes meaningless. There's nothing wrong with it in terms of it's a first level courtesy communication. So you're walking down the corridor. Instead of ignoring the person, you say, how are you doing? And they say, fine. Except the fact that actually it's a bit meaningless, but nevertheless, it's a courtesy. Far better to say, hello, how are you doing? And then say nothing. But accept the fact that walking down the corridor, when you've both got piles of papers in your hand, rushing from meeting to meeting, not at the moment, I accept, but in other times, before COVID-19, in other times, rushing down the corridor, accept the fact that is the level of communication. It's first level communication. It's a courtesy. How was your weekend? Great. Have a good weekend. Lovely. I don't want to really hear about it. And then, do you know something? Heaven forbid somebody says, actually, I feel dreadful. Because the other person will be thinking, hang on, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't really want to know how you feel. It was just like, it rolled off my tongue. So you have to know when. And the person who's actually said to them, I feel fine, and they're not feeling fine,
and just asking,
thinking to themselves.
And just asking, how are you doing? How are you? Is very surface level these days.
It's superficial.
And to know somebody at a deeper level, we can ask good questions. So what do you think can be good questions to understand person on a human being level?
You've gone from a jump. You've gone from walking down the corridor now to coming into good questions. What I'd say is, if you're going to be asking good questions and you're going to be giving time to that person to actually start talking about how they feel or how they really are, you have to make time to do it. So you're walking down the same corridor and you say, hello, how are you doing? He says, fine. You think to yourself, I'm not sure they really are fine. So what you may say is, well, why don't we have a coffee at some point? So it could be something in their body language that actually led you to believe that actually when they said they feel fine, they don't. So you're getting those cues, you're getting the clues to actually make that time to speak to that person on another occasion. When you do that, and it may be a quiet space, it may be a quiet time, it may be over a cup of coffee, it doesn't really matter, then you start asking some open questions, the what, why, when, who, how, when, why. So you will start asking some open questions. Because then you can actually say, well, how was your weekend? And they say, well, it was okay. And they say, well, what did you do? Tell me about. So there may be some, you may have to chip away to get underneath that. So the person starts trusting you that you actually, gosh, you're really interested. Not necessarily about the weekend, but it could be the weekend was important because something dramatic did happen. You don't know. So if you take that, Nishan, back to where we are today, which means we haven't got those clues. So therefore, you're talking to somebody over the phone. You can't look at them eye to eye contact, the chances are, because it's going to probably be a phone call. If it's a video call, okay, you've got a little bit more flexibility there. But nevertheless, it's still not the same as actually speaking face to face and in person. So your open questions could be, you know, how are you feeling? What did you do then? Where are you going? How long do you think? Could you tell me more about it? I was wondering if you could explain that a little bit more. These are the kinds of open questions that are going to elicit a response.
And it always happens that we try to fill in that silence. When somebody's thinking, it happens to me all the time. And I remind myself that that person is just thinking, give them some time. But in a face-to-face conversation, it is easy to see that. But on a phone, it's not easy. So how can we cultivate that practice?
It's not easy. It's not easy. And I would say to you, Nishan, that even in face-to-face, people are interrupting continually. So if we look at what a silence is, then we can take that on to the next stage. A silence is the other person's thinking time. If it's the other person's thinking time, then take this into consideration. You are interrupting the other person's thinking time. So you're interrupting a thought process. You're interrupting what that person is going to say. Not everybody speaks in terms of, I speak, you answer, I speak, you answer. It doesn't always happen like that all the time. People need to reflect. People need to come up with a considered response. All that is absolutely fine. Come up with a considered response. But you may need the space to actually do it. So if you listen to the way that I'm speaking, there's a space. Doesn't mean that you jump in and think, oh my gosh, she doesn't know what she's talking. She's forgotten what to say and has technology failed me. No, it hasn't. That is a space. There's nothing wrong with a space. People are uncomfortable with silences. Children are brought up to fill silences. You know, cat got your tongue? Don't, you can't say anything? Say something. And we forget that actually there's nothing wrong with a silence. The chances are we all talk too quickly. We all are in a rush, rush, rush. Well, where we are at this moment with the coronavirus, we're not in a rush. That's actually been taken away from us. We can make time to improve and enhance our communication skills. And if we can do that over the phone or online, then we can do it even better when we're meeting somebody face to face, which we will do in due course.
Having effective communication on phone and online is, if we can develop that practice face to face, is going to be much, much better. And if another person is taking too much time to respond, or if they have long period of silence, it means it could mean that they are going through some stressful situation in their time, in their life, and their mind is wandering. So how can we pick up that stress?
Yeah, but hang on, but it may not be stress, Anishan. It could just be the person isn't quite sure what to say. The person isn't quite sure where to start. It could be that they've got so many things going on in their head at that moment, and they're not quite sure with all of that, which one shall I start with first? So it could be as simple as that. However, what you've picked up there, rightly so, is it could demonstrate the person is experiencing stress. So then it'd be a matter of saying to them, how do you feel? Waiting long enough for a response. You're not feeding them the lines, ask them the question. And they say, well, it's okay. I'm going to say to you, what does the word okay mean? It's a general word meaning great, fantastic, awful, or, you know, like not happy. The word okay is a generic word which actually has no meaning. We all say it. How are you? Fine? I'm okay. What does okay mean? And I will sometimes say to somebody, tell me, what does okay mean to you? And they'll say, well, actually, I'm pretty rough at the moment. So there you can see where it is. So I think that asking questions, asking the right questions at the right time, there's no point asking someone a question if it's the wrong time. So if they're concentrating on something else, or they're at working at home and they've got the children running around, they're not going to be opening up to you. They're truly, truly not. That's the wrong time. So making the right time, having the right time, making it the right place. They may want to go behind their bedroom door. They may want to sit in the living room. They want to turn off the TV, whatever that is. Having the right time and space. They may want to, when they go, we were allowed to go for a daily walk. I have a lot of clients who call me, who I speak to on their walk, on their daily walk. They want to talk something through. They want to shout and scream about the children or the wife or the husband or whatever it may well be. They want to talk about the stress and try and relieve that stress. They will do that on the phone while they're walking. So that is something that's just become very popular now, is that people while they're walking will actually do that, because that's the only thing that we're allowed to do. And I accept the fact it's for this moment, but yes, it is for this moment. So it's really, that's making the time and space. For us at the moment with the coronavirus, that is actually what we can do. Quiet time and space is actually while we're walking. So it's the same principles. If you're talking to somebody and you want to have an appreciation of how they are, how they're doing, how they're feeling, how they're managing at home, how are the children, how or what is it like living by themselves, whatever that may well be, make the time to do that. And don't rush the call. The call's going to be 20 minutes. Don't rush it and think I have to push so much into that call. This isn't a schedule. This is a time of trust, empathy, having understanding, and an appreciation where that person is. They will tell you in due course when they trust you and when you have a big word, when you have rapport.
And taking time to understand that person and not just filling in that space. And we become self-centered. Sometimes it happens to me a lot of times. We just want to talk about ourselves. It's not about us. It's about them. This call is about knowing them. We can say it's a mutual conversation and having 50-50 kind of thing. They are also allowed to talk. We are also allowed to express our feelings, emotions, and any basic conversation. Time and space.
Yes, I think it depends, Nishant, as to what the objectives of the conversation are. If you're a manager managing somebody and you really want to know how they're managing in their day, how they're managing the workload, how they're managing the work-life balance, it may well be that that conversation stays with them. So therefore, the manager may not say, well, actually, for me, this is what I am doing. That may not be relevant. You're talking to a friend and, you know, Bill and John are talking to each other and they're just chatting about how you're managing, how I'm, this is a shared conversation. But as soon as Bill, the manager, starts talking to Mary, the employee, it is actually Mary's time. And it's not up to Bill to say, well, actually, you're doing this, but I'm doing that. This is actually up to Bill to actually manage Mary's time and space in that conversation. So from that point of view, it's not a two-way conversation. It's very much a listening. If a manager wants to get the most out of their people and get to the point where they can improve their performance and productivity, they will do that, but they won't be that won't be a time of them sharing about themselves and the hassle they're going through with their wife, husband, children. It doesn't really matter. That won't be that time. That will be a time, they may do that with their friend, but that may not be with the manager and the employee role. So there may be a slight difference there. It depends as to the relationship that there is, as to how much that manager might give away, or how much that manager might say. And it could be that there is a certain point of personal disclosure that the manager might give and say, yes, I appreciate it. It's really tough for all of us. You know, I've got my kids running around as well. That makes you human. So I'm not just saying you keep away totally from yourself. But if the conversation is about Mary, make sure that you keep that conversation about Mary. It doesn't mean that Bill won't share a little bit, but keep that under control, because this conversation is not about Bill, it's actually about Mary. So therefore it depends as to which angle you're coming from and what you're wanting out of that conversation.
Being intentional about that conversation, what do you want to get out of that? And be an active listener, not filling in the silence, understanding that they are thinking, not just discounting the conversation.
Exactly.
Do you have anything else to add on this conversation for today, Carol?
I think that there's nothing more important than being able to communicate. In whether we're communicating now, we're doing it online, then you'll communicate this to everybody else, which is great. There's the communication that goes from one person to another. There's a communication from one person to a group of people. But wherever you're communicating, at the moment, communicating online is a challenge. I'm not saying it's impossible at all. It's just a challenge, and to take certain things that we've mentioned into consideration. If you take that into consideration, you're thinking more about your phone call, you're thinking more about what you're saying. You may not just do it spontaneously when someone's shouting at you in the house. Plan your timing. So a lot of what I'm saying is what should be done face to face. More so than ever does it need to be done when you're actually communicating remotely. There can be nothing more important. And that's what we have. What managers want to do is they want to build rapport, they want to build trust, they want to build understanding and full appreciation as to where their employee is. If they do that, then they're building what we call is a trusting relationship. When you've got a trusting relationship, then that employee will improve performance, productivity, and will also have a greater sense of purpose. And at this moment, with the world as it is, we all need to have that greater sense of purpose. And I think using these skill set that we've been talking about can help people to do that along the way.
Thank you so much, Carol. Thank you for being on the show again.
My pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you learned from this episode that you can apply in your life. If you did enjoy this, please subscribe to the podcast, The Nishant Garg Show, on Apple Podcasts and leave reviews. Also, you can make an impact in someone else's life by sharing this podcast. When you share this, you can transform someone else's life. I'm so grateful for having Carol Spears on this podcast and share her message with the world. So please spread the message everywhere. And thank you again.